I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor,
humor,
tequila,
tequila,
and an IQ of under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art Cop Radio,
Radio, Radio, Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Art Cop Radio. This is show 114. My name's Bart. I'm driving the big boat today. And damn it, we broke our streak. We had 14 weeks in a row with a show. Last week was a tough week. Then Monday was no picnic either. Tuesday, the painters came. Don't know if I told you the story, but about a year ago, we had a waterfall, which ordinarily is nice, but not in the center of our living room. So we had a waterfall. They came and patched it, but they wouldn't come back and paint it. I've been after them for a damn year. I told them, I'm undefeated in court. You don't want me to go explain to the judge that you owe me this. And so they finally showed up unannounced, of course, after a year. They just show up and start painting. So that put things back a day. But what the hell, we put together a show. You might even like it. Once again, we're jam-packed. Let's get the shot of Chinako out the way. Guess it's kind of been a tough week for everybody. Sure wish I got that show done Friday, because Monday started a whole new week, if you know what I mean. So today's show, we got a little bit of the Duke. We got a little bit of the Imus. But the whole second half of the show is comedy. So maybe that'll put you in a good mood. What the hell? Let's kick it off right now. Here comes the big, big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
I'm just straight in, riding my motorcycle down the streets. What politicians? They sounding like strippers to me.
Obviously, for anybody who's been tuned to the television today, a horrible, horrible day. I have absolutely nothing to add that is insightful or anything. I will just do what I always do when faced with something that is that powerfully damaging to the emotional core. I will begin to repress it, and I will swallow it. And I imagine that 30 years from now, someone will spill juice, and I will freak the f*** out. To that end, let's move on as though the world is okay.
News with Katie Couric. Tonight, Decision at Duke.
Hello, everyone. It all began here just over a year ago and sent shockwaves across the nation. An African-American woman said she was raped by three white men, members of the Duke University lacrosse team. But today, here in the capital of North Carolina, the state attorney general said it never happened. The accused were the victims of what he called a tragic rush to judgment.
Today, we are filing notices of dismissal for all charges.
Nearly one nightmarish year after being arrested and accused of rape, kidnapping, and sexual crimes against an African-American exotic dancer, the three men saw all charges dropped.
Now, in this case, with the weight of the state behind him, the Durham district attorney pushed forward unchecked.
State Attorney General Roy Cooper blasted District Attorney Mike Nifong's investigation, implying it was a rogue prosecution.
There were many points in this case where caution would have served justice better than bravado.
Bravado? I think that's a really stupid characterization for what this guy did. He broke the law. He broke it again and again, and I hope they don't let him get away with it.
Nifong now faces disbarment hearings, and the attorney general admitted criminal charges are not out of the question.
It's been 395 days since this nightmare began, and finally today it's come to a closure.
They all spoke of the agony of being presumed guilty of crimes that could have put them in prison for 30 years.
I hope these allegations don't come to define me.
I hope to use my experience to prevent this from ever happening again to anyone.
This entire experience has opened my eyes up to a tragic world of injustice I never knew existed. If police officers and a district attorney can systematically railroad us with absolutely no evidence whatsoever, I can't imagine what they'd do to people who do not have the resources to defend themselves.
You know, it makes me wonder why the players and their families didn't do a better job of defending themselves. Unlike some poor family, these people had money. They say, probably in this piece, that they spent between $3 and $5 million, and they did just a terrible job. I'd have done it for $10,000. For $10,000, they could have flown me in, and I could have fixed this thing for them. I don't know where their head was at.
For all three young men and their families, the legal nightmare is now over. But we want to take you back now to when it began.
The racially charged case split a community, black and white.
All rapists got to go! Hey, hey.
And the wounds have festered for a year.
Blue devil.
It was March of last year when a 27-year-old African-American woman, one of two exotic dancers hired to perform at a Duke lacrosse team party, told police she was forced into a bathroom, beaten and raped by three white men.
Beaten and raped. Don't you think there would be some evidence if someone was beaten and raped? I don't know if you've seen this house. It's a damn small house. I would guess 1,300 square feet. And there's like 30 people in the house. How in the world, in that small a place with 30 people, could you get away with something like that? None of this adds up. None of it makes any sense. It's pretty absurd on its face. And I know things got wild and crazy out of control, but it's just so hard to believe somebody didn't say, hey, is there any beef here at all? I mean, if you said a flying saucer landed in the backyard, wouldn't you go look for, I don't know, some imprints in the grass where maybe a heavy object rested or something? Before this is over, I'm going to tell you how I would have handled it. But it just seems impossible that all these people stood there and did nothing while this tragedy played out.
Arrests came swiftly and publicly. Reed Seligman.
Do you guys have anything to say?
And Colin Finnerty were paraded in handcuffs.
No, it isn't.
Their lacrosse team co-captain David Evans was booked in front of TV cameras.
There were demonstrations and death threats against the players.
Justice will be done right now.
To hear people saying you're a dead man walking and you can't turn around and protect yourself, the anxiety of this entire case was there every day. It just constant. And that's why it's so emotionally draining, because you're always on the lookout. You're always, you know, waiting to see what's going
to
happen.
To have people in front of your house banging pots with a sign that says castrate, real men tell the truth, Sunday morning, time to confess, and going out there and saying all these things before any piece of evidence had ever been presented is just mind-boggling.
From the moment they were busted, the players adamantly denied they had done anything wrong.
I am innocent. Reed Seligman is innocent. Colin Finnerty is innocent. Every member of the Duke University lacrosse team is innocent. You have all been told some fantastic lies.
But that's not how you handle something like this. A guilty man would have said those same things. If you're innocent, it's pretty easy to build a case, and it makes you wonder, why the F they didn't do that? They've been under this cloud for 13 months and nobody thought to say a couple of sentences that would solve a whole lot of problems and force the other guy to make a move he couldn't make. They could have nipped this 5 days, 2-3 days after they got arrested. It makes you wonder, why didn't they bother to do that? They just stood there like Democrats and let themselves be screwed over and over and over. Week after week, month after month, for more than a year, they just laid there and took it. Why would they do that? Why didn't they take some action? Remember, these are rich people. Rich people can do things. You can take out ads in the paper. You could buy TV time if you're rich. You could contact certain websites and say, hey, I got a point of view. Is there any chance you might consider publishing my point of view, because I'm innocent and I can prove it? But nobody These idiots have a story to tell, not quite life and death, but semi-close to life and death story. Their lives are hanging in the balance, and they didn't bother to mention their point of view, and it makes me wonder why. Are they just Democrats? Do they just not know how to fight? Are they just pitiful, helpless Democrats that can't think?
But Durham County Prosecutor Mike Nifon, running for re-election in a heavily black district, openly proclaimed the player's guilt.
There's no doubt in my mind that she was raped and assaulted at this location.
Somebody, if they wanted to get out of this trap, might have mentioned that Nifong's personal opinion doesn't enter into this at all. You've got to have a thing called evidence. And I wish I'd followed this a little more closely, but I assume there was a preliminary hearing. At a preliminary hearing, the state has to put on a case. They have to put up some kind of, they say, Your Honor, we got a dead body here. We've got a gun with fingerprints on it. We got gunshot residue on the accused hands. We've got eyewitnesses to the crime. We matched the bullet from the body to the gun that we found in his drawer. I mean, that's what you call evidence. But when the district attorney says, in my mind, there was a crime here, why, dude, your mind doesn't count. And none of the players thought to say, excuse me, is there any evidence that I was even in the state that day?
He launched a campaign-like media blitz, labeling the suspects hooligans, while playing up the racial overtones of the case.
I'm not going to allow Durham's view in the mind of the world to be a bunch of lacrosse players from Duke raping a black girl in Durham.
But there were insurmountable problems with the prosecution.
That's right, and nobody bothered to point that out until 13 months later. Why is that? You know, hopefully I'm not ever going to be accused of a serious crime in the time I have left. But, you know, I would almost welcome it just to show people if you just fight back, it's pretty fucking easy. If you're innocent, I mean, if you're guilty, now you got a problem. Now you've got a fighter in your hands. But if you're innocent, why don't you just take matters into your own hands, grab the reins of the case, don't let the other guy drive it. This is just like a debate. If you let the other guy frame the issue, well, yeah, now you're dead. This is just like a Democrat fighting with a Republican. If the Republicans frame the issue and accuse you of something, you say, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, then you're going to look guilty, you idiot. But if you stand up and say, no, you got it all wrong. I'll tell you how it is. It's like this and it's like that. You're the idiot that's got your facts wrong. What the hell's wrong with you? If they would have fought back, it would have been so easy.
Nifong waited 9 months to interview the accuser.
Now, can you believe that? 9 months. He's got no physical evidence, so all he had was the accuser's word, and he didn't talk to her for 9 months. When they went to the preliminary hearing to see if they should even go forward with the case, what the hell did he talk about? He hadn't talked to the witness, and there's no forensic evidence. So what the hell did he say at the preliminary hearing? What kind of idiot lawyers did these rich people hire that they stood there and said, oh, we're in trouble. We can't get out of this because they have no evidence and they haven't even talked to the witness. So we're in trouble. We got nothing here. Jesus, they could have just called old Bart. I would have given him the keys to the case. This would have been over in days. It's real obvious this Nifong character was crazy and way the hell out of control. And it makes you wonder, I mean, if it had been reversed, if this had been a rich white girl who was screaming that she had been raped by this penniless black man, you know, he's from a family who's got nothing. They had to hire some idiotic public defender, some new guy, his first case. He doesn't even know what to do. But here's three rich families, and they're all pitifully powerless and helpless, and their attorneys. I mean, where was everybody? Where was the newspaper? Where was the media? Why didn't anybody ask any questions?
And when DNA tests failed to link any of the suspects to the alleged victim, Nifong withheld that key information from the players' attorneys.
But again, you can't do that. That's a crime. You can't withhold evidence that shows that the defendant is innocent. You can't do that. Why didn't the attorneys for the defense ask for a copy of the lab report? Isn't that pretty basic? Isn't that like the first thing you would do if you were accused of rape? Did they not think of that? Did they say, oh, the report's secret, we can't let you have a copy? No, you don't have secret evidence. It doesn't work that way. Well, maybe for Al-Qaeda, if you're George W. Bush. But nobody bothered to ask for a copy of the report. He's got to do some time, because if he doesn't do time, that means any prosecutor in the country can do anything without any evidence, and then when evidence shows up that says the guy was innocent, he just puts that in a shelf or throws it away or destroys it or whatever. So, I mean, the whole country, there's no foundation for any kind of due process if the prosecutor's allowed to cheat and lie and steal and change the facts. He's got to do some time. And again, where were the families and where were the attorneys for the families? Why didn't they raise a ruckus? Why didn't they go to a judge and say, Judge, can you explain this here? Can you, if nothing else, they could have filed suit demanding that the guy show up with some report. We want to see the report. You're going to drag my ass through the mud for a year. I want to see the report. But they just didn't bother to do that.
He tried to shrug off the omission.
For most of the years I've been doing this, we didn't have DNA.
Well, now that's too stupid to address. The reason I held on to the report that proved they were innocent is because there was no DNA when I started prosecuting. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't add up. That's not even an excuse.
But the second dancer, who was also at the lacrosse party that night, raised doubts about the accuser's story.
She obviously wasn't hurt, or because, you know, she was fine. She wouldn't have went back in the house if she was hurt. She was fine.
In December, Nifong dropped the rape counts. And today, Attorney General Roy Cooper dumped the rest of the case.
We have no credible evidence that an attack occurred in that house on that night.
That's what the family's attorneys should have said a week after this got started. I don't know how long a lab test takes, maybe hours. I know there's some lab tests like Anna Nicole, they had to wait 6 weeks for some reason, I don't know, but semen stains on the underwear? No, that's right away. You've seen CSI. You put the ultraviolet light on it. When it lights up, there you go. You put the semen stains through the little DNA machine, and it tells you who it is. But the attorneys for the family didn't bother to ask. What's wrong with those people? If I'm not even an attorney, but I know that when an attorney shows up, he says, okay, I'll take your case. You go to the cops and say, what evidence do you have? That's how you start. And the cops say, well, we got this, we got that. Because if there's no evidence, you say, hey, we're all going home. Has no one in the state ever seen a Law and Order or a CSI or any kind of crime show on TV? That's the first question they ask. What's the evidence? Because if they got you, there's no sense you working on I wasn't there at the time when they got you on videotape, you know, date and time stamped. Well, no, you were there, asshole. So what, we've established that. So we're not going to let you plead a case that it wasn't me because we got you on film. You always find out what the evidence is before you start to prepare. The only way you can defend a case is to find out what evidence they have, and then you give your side to that evidence. But the family's attorneys never asked?
Your Honor, we have...
Now it's Nifong who faces accusations. He could lose his law license for lying and withholding evidence. The Attorney General made it clear the lacrosse team rape case never should have been filed in the first place.
I think an investigative reporter ought to locate these attorneys and put the spotlight on them and say, what the hell is wrong with you? Why didn't you do your job when this whole thing started? Did the attorneys just decide to rape the families? Did they say, oh, this is a deep case. I'm going to need a $100,000 retainer, and I'm going to have to hire a bunch of people and a whole bunch of this, and they just milked it week after week, month after month? Is that what happened here? That would explain why they never did anything. Oh, we're still investigating. I need another $100,000 from you. Oh, and $100,000 from your family, $100,000. I need $300,000 every couple of weeks because we got all this evidence we got to work on. Didn't the attorneys do anything? Why isn't somebody forced to stand up and explain themselves?
But his dismissal cannot completely undo the damage to the players or a tarnished Duke community.
For the players, it was a year of their lives they will never get back. So where do they go from here? We continue now with our national correspondent, Byron Pitts.
It's estimated their parents spent a combined $3 to $5 million on lawyers. Vindication is one thing. Restoring reputations is something else.
Your estimation, the biggest losers here?
The biggest losers, I think, are the three students who were indicted.
Duke law professor James Coleman has been a voice of reason from the beginning.
As opposed to the rest of us, the city, the university, Duke students in general, I think that they will never overcome what happened.
How unfair is that?
It's about as unfair as it gets.
And what's to become, Byron, of the accuser?
Well, Katie, the AG says she will not be charged with the crime, though in his words, she still believes the stories she told.
They say the accuser has mental problems, and that's why they're not going forward with any prosecution with her. But, you know, this whole thing was so avoidable from the start. And I'll tell you what the defendants never said. If this had been me, you know what I would have said? I would have said, hey, guess what? I went to that party, and I never took my pants off, and my zipper never came down. So that means they don't have any of my semen anywhere. They just don't. There's no way in this planet that the Durham County, whatever, has any of my sperm. They just don't. You know why? Because they didn't fucking do it. That's why. You know something else? They don't have any of my pubic hair. They don't have any anything. They don't have any evidence because nothing happened. Now, why in the hell didn't they? If I'm going to give an attorney $1 million to defend me, or $3 or $5 million, I'm going to have him file a lawsuit, go before a judge and say, Judge, my client is innocent. They've got no case. Would you direct them to produce some kind of evidence that says that my client should be on trial? Why didn't they force the issue? Why didn't these three guys go around telling everybody, my pants never came down? They don't have any sperm. They just don't. There's no semen. Remember how they caught Clinton? The semen on the dress. There is no semen on the dress because we didn't do it. I have a theory. I think they had sex with the girl. That's why they can't say, my zipper stayed up, my pants stayed on. Why can't they say that? There's a dirty little secret. I don't know if you know this. There are places on the internet where amateurs make porn films and they upload them. And what's weird about that, well, first of all, I mean, when we were kids, they didn't have anything like that. But these days, I don't know, I guess they're high school and college kids. They make their own porn films. You turn on a camera and you and your girlfriend take your pants off and you do things. And then when you're done, you put the film, you connect it to your computer and you upload it and you share that with people. Why anybody would want to do that, I don't know. The weird thing I was going to tell you about is today's kids don't mind having sex in front of other people, which I think is a little boggling. I guess I'm just, you know, every generation that comes by, I guess, is a little freer than the generation before. But you've heard the things about, how was your date last night? Oh, it was okay. Did you kiss him goodnight? No, but I blew the guy. You know, I mean, he took me miniature golf, and at least I owed him a blowjob. But what's weirder than that is the fact that you gave him the blowjob in front of all your friends. I find this to be weird. A while back, Jason Alexander was on Bill Maher's show, and he mentioned something about how there's pressure on today's girls to act like porn stars. And he is correct. And these amateur films, we're talking about, these are normal-looking kids. Well, they're, some of them are kind of spectacular-looking, but these are normal-looking kids. They're not, you know, strangers, not from some other country. They're not, you know, Eskimos or from Botswana or something. These are just normal-looking American high school and college kids. And they are doing stuff that no woman should do. And I'm not going to get into it, but just imagine two naked people. What is the most degrading thing a man could do to a woman? Well, that's what these kids are doing. And go figure. Yeah, apparently there is that kind of pressure on young girls today. You know, if you don't do it well, the quarterback's going to take out that other girl because she'll do it well. Okay, then I'll do it. I don't want to do it, but I will. And the girls today apparently are under that kind of pressure. A while back on CSI, they talked about, they had evidence of a ring party. And I never knew what a ring party was, never been to a ring party. But a ring party is where every girl at the party wears a different shade of lipstick, and at the end of the night, for some reason, the guys compare their penises, and they count how many colors of rings you have on your penis. And, you know, maybe I'm just not that close to my friends, but my friends and I, we don't get together and share our penis stories and show and tell. That just has never happened, but today's kids are different. You know, remember now, none of this is me. I'm not making any of this up. I'm just telling you what's out there. the idea that kids would go to a party and a girl would blow every guy at the party. I mean, you know, it sounds like some weird science fiction thing, but no, this is happening. I'm not saying your kid's doing it, but your kid might be doing it. But when they talk about these ring parties on the CSI, and from what I've seen with my own two eyes, but what's weird is like, okay, picture like a clubhouse looking thing. And there's, you know, either a guy is doing something to a girl, or I've seen them where a girl is laying naked on a pool table and another girl is performing oral sex on the girl. And the guys are all sitting around, you know, now and then someone would look over, but you know, the guys are like watching TV. And it just seems weird to me that if I was in a room and that was going on, I would think, my God, look what those two women are doing. Just right. My God, look at that. But the kids today, they don't, it's like, it doesn't register. It's like, well, yeah, they're over there doing that. Why? It's like, well, I don't know. You know, they're talking and having conversations, watching the ball game on TV. And all this is going on right there. That seems really, really odd to me. So how does all this tie in? It's real possible at that party. Remember, we're talking about rich kids. It's real possible at that party, the guys all whipped out a $100 bill, and the girls may have gone from guy to guy earning their money. I don't know that that happened, but if you're thinking, well, that probably didn't happen because there's 30 guys in a very tiny house, you know, how would you even get some privacy to do something like that? Well, the kids don't do the privacy thing. And I can't guarantee you that they all had sex or that some of them had sex or whatever, but somehow I never unzipped my pants. I never took my pants off. Somehow that never came up, which makes me think they may have taken their pants off. Maybe the girls went around and did a couple of rounds and made a few thousand dollars. And then the girl screams rape for some reason. And the guys, they're going, well, no, we didn't rape anybody. There was no rape, but there may or may not have been some semen running around the room. But the fact that they didn't use that, the fact that they didn't say, you can't accuse me of this because you don't have any of my semen, they weren't able to say that. And it's, you know, it's a little, maybe a little like the OJ blood. How'd your blood get there? Well, gee, the officers came in and withdrew it from my arm. That's how my blood got there. That was OJ's excuse anyway. But if your semen's not there, if your blood's not there, it's real hard for the other guy to say that it is or was. But the bottom line, since the defendants chose not to defend themselves, then they went through this 13 months of hell. I'm not saying they deserved it. It's just, if you're innocent, you stand up and you demand the proof. You go to anyone that'll talk to you. Remember, years and years ago, I guess it would be 90, was it 98, they had the Olympic bombing in Atlanta? But why the hell didn't Richard Jewell, you know, he hid. He ran and hid like a guilty guy. And that's what these three guys did. If I was these three guys and I was innocent, I would be talking to everybody in the world. I'd be on the Today Show banging on the door. Please, would you do an interview with me? I'm a famous guy now. Somebody talk to me. I didn't do it. I kept my pants on. I kept my zipper up. There's no way I ever got near this girl. The cops have no evidence, and still they're going crazy. Don't you think that's a story that the media would be interested? Crazy cops fabricate evidence. You know, they have no evidence. The only evidence they could have is evidence that they fabricated. But no, they just chose the, I didn't do it, which is what a guilty guy would say. So the bottom line is, if you're innocent, say so.
I do have confidence in Attorney General Al Gonzalez. I do have confidence in Attorney General Gonzalez. I do have confidence in Attorney General Gonzalez. Third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, they kind of catapult the propaganda. They kind of catapult the propaganda. 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 For the truth to sink in. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Democratic Congress is back in town. Yeah, baby. And tomorrow, Alberto Gonzalez will sit his habeas corpus, suspending torture memo, writing unitary executive power mongering, email shredding butt in front of Chuck Schumer again tomorrow. I can't wait. I really can't.